as well. All right, our memory verse for tonight, if you would turn over to 1 John in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And again, passages of Scripture dealing with the will of God, and 1 John 5, 14 is another one in which we have confidence. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. Let's try it together. You ready? 1 John 5, 14. Or you can read it together. All right, read it together. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Fantastic truth. If you want to try it together, let's do it once again. Ready? 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, can I ask you something? This is a great truth. What is one thing you can ask of God, you can seek God for, that you know His desire is? Think. Wisdom is a good one, but think of the core of your even having a relationship with Him. Look back at verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that, what's the next word? Believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me ask you something. Is that secure? Is that something you can know with confidence? It is. It absolutely is. You know that any person who calls out on Christ for salvation, recognizing their sinner that needs a Savior, can they have confidence that He hears that request? Can they? Yes! That was a little weak on our part, perhaps. Let's try that again, because it really is a foundational truth. Can you have confidence on the reality that He will hear the person who calls out to Him in faith? Yes. Can you have confidence in that? You absolutely can't. And is it His desire to save the lost? Yes. It is. You know, that's a great truth for us as we go out with the gospel, to know with certainty. And so this passage is an important one. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, verse 15 says, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know that it is great to know with certainty that you are in a relationship with Him? According to the promise of what He has made, do you know that? And you can, and you can live in it, and you can be assured of it, and you do not need to be afraid. I love 1 John. Perhaps one of these days we'll do a study through 1 John. But there's a great amount of confidence in our relationship with Him. And this is a great verse that gives that. So, next week's verse, 1 Peter 3, verse 17. 1 Peter 3, verse 17 in your Bibles. If you want to look over at that verse for next week, 1 Peter 3, 17. 1 Peter 3, 17 says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That next week, I hope that you'll be memorizing this throughout the week ahead. And 1 Peter 3:17 will be our verse for next week. Okay, take your Bibles tonight and look over with me, if you will, at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 and 9, again, will be our text for this evening. And for the brief time that we have, and I say brief and I may go longer, it's Sunday night and school's out, and so you're not really that eager to get anywhere or do anything, right? Probably not. All right. If I see you walk out, I'll know why. But I do believe that there is truth for us tonight that we need as individual Christians, as families, and as a church body. Now, I've mentioned this a number of times as we've looked at some things in Philippians, that there's truth that we as a family, individual families can put into practice, you as an individual Christian can put into practice. But it was written to a body of believers, a church in Philippi, that needed to be reminded of unity in Christ. And what it is to be Christ-like in your thinking. And Christ-like then in thinking will impact your actions. And so while it is true that that letter was written for the purpose of a church family, I believe that we can as well see how it would impact our families individually. how it impacts you in your marriage, how it will impact you, kids, in your relationships with your brothers and sisters. But if you will understand how it impacts us as a church as well, we're going to benefit from it. We're going to benefit. So look at Philippians 4, and these are familiar verses. We looked at verse number 8 last time, but let's read verse 8 and verse 9 together. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, let's say that next phrase together. Think on these things. Now, let's look at verse 9. In fact, let's read together verse 9. Would you follow, say it, read along with me? Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Father, teach us tonight. Help us to see these truths and to simply recognize how we can apply them. I pray that you would be glorified through the next time, next few minutes that we have in your word, and that you would even stir us up to more of what you desire in us, which is that we would be doers, that we would be putting into action the things that we've learned and the things that we know of our Savior. And we'll thank you for that and the effects that that will have in a broad, sweeping way on the others, but also in our even having peace with you and knowing that peace that you desire for us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 9, you notice a little bit of emphasis. The things that you have learned, the things that you have received and heard and seen in me, do. And Paul is speaking of imitation. And I mentioned that this morning. And tonight we're going to be looking at your home, a place of imitation. Now, imitation kind of is a bad word when we think of food or when we think of products. You know, you think of imitation, you think of the generic, or you think of the fake, right? If I said imitation leather, you don't think good things, you think cheap, right? But when we speak of imitation in a Bible sense, or in this sense, what I'm doing, you do it too. Imitating is not in a negative connotation. I hope that you'll recognize that. Being a follower of something or an imitator of Christ is not just for the fakeness or the imitation for an exterior purpose. He's not encouraging them to do things here just to be seen of other people. He's encouraging them about their thinking and that thinking would be the way by which their actions would flow. And if you will imitate the reason that Paul is doing what Paul is doing, as he pointed out in chapter 3, he's doing this because who is he following? He's following Christ. And if you will follow others whose thinking is connected to the thinking of Christ, your imitation of them, your following of their pattern will be a good thing. It's not going to be a bad thing. The question then becomes, who do you imitate? Who do you look to for your pattern? Just this past week, I was reading some content on the difficulty those that have autism spectrum disorder face. I don't know how familiar you are with the autism spectrum disorder. And a lot of times, we kind of, if we've not interacted with things, we think we already know things. And so, at times, I like to read and just know a little bit about what others deal with in that area. And it was interesting to read someone that was speaking of how there is training for those that have difficulty with communication skills. And you will find that many young people with autism spectrum cannot communicate very well. They struggle with that. Or that they might even have difficulty with social interaction. Now, that's important. And the author of this, Gina Garvey, said, imitation is a crucial aspect of skill development because it allows us to learn new things quickly and efficiently by watching those around us. Most children learn everything from gross motor movements to speech to interactive play skills by watching parents, caregivers, siblings, and peers perform these behaviors. Now stop just for a minute. Do you realize how much you learned by imitating? I know that's no shock to you that have children, but sometimes we forget how we know what we know. You've watched things, and kids are like sponges, aren't they? They're soaking up things. They're observing things. And they're imitating that which they've seen and observed. And that goes for not just how you walk. I mentioned that this morning. And isn't it funny to watch someone and the kids walk just like the parents? And they talk just like the parents? They have the same little mannerisms as the parents? It's somewhat embarrassing as parents when you realize, oh, they learned that from me. Yeah, all of us have been there if you've had kids. And the things that they learn, even at very early ages, how they're speaking, how they're learning to talk. And it was interesting, and I think you'd know this as a side note, but that children with autism can be developing and learn imitation skills, but it takes more effort and time. And the article was talking about ways in which a teacher can help a child that is in that challenge of social and communication skills to learn to imitate. And you don't even think about imitating as something you had to learn to do, but for some young people in that situation, learning to imitate is a skill they need to develop so they can develop other skills. Now, all that to say, imitation plays a part of your life that you don't think about a lot. And especially if you're older, you haven't been thinking about it probably much lately. But you still need to think on and be growing in imitating that which is good, that which is right. And verse 8, we spoke of last time, is packed with Paul's admonition to them about the way that they would think, things that are pure, things that are lovely, as we looked at last time. Tonight, though, I want us to focus in on verse 9, because Paul is not just saying, this is the way you need to think. Now it's take that which you have seen and learned and heard in me and do something with it. You know, if all you ever did was soak in what you saw, but you never put into practice, you never imitated it yourself, what will you not do well for those that follow you? Imagine for just a minute, this is a crazy illustration, but just if you as a child watched your parents walking around, but you never got up and moved. You just sat and watched. And you heard them talk, but you never talked. But you could, but you didn't. It's kind of awkward, isn't it? If you never move and you never talk, how will your kids? Now, I know you're thinking, Pastor, I know where you're going with this probably. Are you saying, Pastor, that if I don't put into practice some of the things that I'm supposed to imitate of Christ, that it's possible that other people won't see them and imitate them and grow in them? What are the things that he's speaking of when he says, the things that you have learned and seen and heard in me? And why is it so important that we be doers? Why is it so important that we care about being a helpful example to others who are watching us? Again, the point is not that you care so much about what other people think of you. That really is a trap. That's not what he's encouraging them here. Hey, the things you've learned and seen and heard in me, do those things because I'm watching or because you need to be worried about what other people think. That's not a good reason to imitate. In fact, I think a lot of times Christians get caught up in trying to imitate purely for the purpose of pleasing somebody. Can that happen? Can kids imitate purely for the purpose of making mom and dad happy? Yeah, they can. And a wise parent begins to understand and observe and takes note of the reasons that things are done, not just so that they say, oh, wow, they're so happy. You know, compliant children. Why are they compliant? Can there be a rotten heart behind compliance? Okay, the parents who've been watchful, yes! Yeah, rotten heart. Why is it that compliance isn't all that we're seeking for? Because why you're doing what you're doing really is important. Not just, well, mom and dad are happy, pastor's happy, other people are happy. No, no. Are you and I in a way that will be an imitation of Christ that others can follow? It really is what we're aiming for. And so, why is it so important to have a mindset that says, I want to be a helpful example to others? Well, because our church family depends upon it, doesn't it? The next generation of young people in our church, do they need us to be examples that are Christ-like? You say, wow, you're putting a lot of responsibility on us here, Pastor. Yes. Do you remember who he had just spoken of in verse number 2 of this passage? Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Look at it again. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Do you think that the effects of those two, if they were not in the same mind in the Lord, would have effects on others? Yes, there's no question about that. I don't think that he would have addressed it so emphatically and named them to the body in such a way unless what they were doing was having negative impact upon the body there in Philippi. And that there had already been an effort to see reconciliation, and it hadn't as well as it could. And so he names this, you need to be of the same mind. And the reason and the heartbeat of this is that others would follow your being of the same mind and be helped along. Not that further division or struggle would come. And your being a good example is a very important thing, not just in the family and not just in the body of Christ, but even as it relates to the world around us. Look over, hold your place here, but look over at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. One of the most beautiful sounds in the pulpit is hearing people turning their pages in their Bibles. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I'll give you time to get there. But notice what it says, because it is important that you know that the purpose, the reason we're talking about this imitating thing tonight, of doing the things that they'd heard and seen and learned, is not just so that someone else is impressed or someone else is happy with us. It is that our calling in Christ revolves around doing this for a reason bigger than us. We are a royal priesthood who show forth the praises of God. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that a precious truth? And by the way, that's a precious truth for you and I. I am one who was nothing, and yet now I have a relationship with God, and I have a purpose. You know what the purpose of the Old Testament people of God was? It's that they would shine out as lights to the rest of the world of God's glory and who he was. And did they fail at that? Repeatedly. You know what we as a body of believers are to be today in a world of great darkness? And by the way, is it dark? Yes, that you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you can be called out of darkness into his marvelous light, who around you can't also? Is there some limitation on, we've met our quota, we cannot receive any more. There's not enough mercy for you. Is that the case? No. So what's the motivation for us? Well, these things that we do because of who we are in Christ. We do because the world around us needs to see us shining as light. Needs to see us for what we are. And so why be a place of imitation, our homes a place of imitation? Let me go back to Philippians 4 and just give you a couple of things to consider as we consider showing this out. An example to observe first, because you can't imitate if you're not looking, okay? You need to be recognizing an example worthy of your observation, an example that you can pattern yourself after, an example that is good. In verse number 9, he speaks of himself in that regard. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in... Is that a very proud thing on the part of Paul to say? You know, hey, you all, look at me. That wasn't the point. It wasn't exalting Paul in some kind of pride and arrogance. It was a recognition that what they knew of God, what they knew of coming from darkness into light, who did they know that through? Who went to them? Acts 16, who comes to Philippi? Paul does. Who's the one that's caring for them and desiring that they know more of what it is to come out of darkness into light and from no mercy to having mercy? Who's desirous of them growing? That Paul is. He's the example. He's the pattern for them. He's the one that's telling them of God's plans. The things that he has shown to them, they've heard. They've learned. That word learned is important. It's the idea of to learn something, to have an understanding of a thing. It's a very similar word in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's a similar word there, that there is gospel truth that is taught and declared. By the way, do people know how to go from darkness to light unless somebody teaches them? Think about that. Do lightning bolts just fall out of the sky on people and declare to them what they need to know to have a relationship with God and peace with Him? Does God use people to declare His message? He does. Guess what? That means us. If there are people in Franklin, Indiana, who are going to hear how they can be made right with God, guess who they're going to have to learn that from? An example, a pattern. You know, that's true in your family, your grandkids, your children. You can be the one that teaches, that learns them. You can be one who is giving instruction, who's giving truth upon which someone can then decide, I will believe or I will reject. And Paul reminds them, you've learned from me. The gospel truth is proclaimed, it's talking about, it's spoken of, and it was the word that a sinner is confronted with as he needs a Savior. He hears the word and he realizes, that's true. The Holy Spirit says, you need this, and that word that is spoken is then able to impact the heart. Now, somebody has to be a teacher. You know, we can be more teachers than we are. You don't have to teach in a Sunday school class to be a teacher. In fact, if you give someone a gospel tract this week and it declares the gospel on it, do you know that you are teaching? Don't minimize that one bit. Don't think, oh, I'm not helping anybody. I can't help anyone. Friend, give truth. Be distributors of truth wherever you are. Share things that have truth. You know, you might point them to a message on our website. You might point them to something you've heard. Someone just after the service this morning said, I heard a message this week, and it was a great encouragement. I said, send it to me. I'd love to listen to it. You know, we can share truth. And sharing things with people who are lost in particular. These people had learned, and then he says they had received in verse number 9. That means they had associated themselves with it. Paul spoke of the fact in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You know, you don't give things if you don't personally receive them first. And these are people that had heard the gospel and they had received it. That means they, by faith, believed. So these were people that had made it part of their own lives. They had accepted it as truth and they had heard. You know, they had heard a lot from Paul of Christ's likeness, perhaps in person, in public setting, perhaps in private. Can you imagine the things that the Philippian jailer got to hear the night that he trusted Christ, or the morning, however late it was, and his family is hearing teaching just from Paul and his family? Can you imagine what that would have been like? Can I tell you guys the story of when the Apostle Paul came to our house? Wow, what a night that was. Here's what we learned. Here's what we heard. Here's what we saw. Did they observe things physically about Paul? Yes. Do you know that people remember a lot about what you act like, not just what you say? This is such a sweet place to stop for a minute, okay? Don't discount what people see. Don't forget that people are observing. And again, don't live to, oh, they're all watching me. You know, some of us are very introspective about this. You can ask Miss Lindsay, there's times when even I get introspective. What do they think? Okay, that can be a pit. Don't fall into it. You got it? I just gave you the warning there. However, on the other side of that, realize people are watching and be rejoicing of that. You know, you can be afraid of the fact that people are watching. You can say, wow, here's an opportunity. What do they see? And is Christ being seen? You know, my kids. I have a responsibility to be an example, not just to you as a church, and not just to Lindsay as a husband, and not just to you as friends, but to my children, okay? Are there times when their observing of me has question marks, or your children's observing of you has question marks? And that doesn't seem like that's like Christ. Now, does that something you're addressing? Is that something you're considering? I don't believe Paul was perfect, okay? Paul had times when he, no doubt, was tired, irritated, and perhaps said something in haste, or said something that wasn't as sweet and kind, or may have been cutting. But do you know what the dominating effect that people saw was? That the Holy Spirit of God is at work in Paul. And what's it? What's the thing that your family knows of you? Do they know by your actions, by your words. You know what? I have observed Christ at work in them. Can people say that? Can your spouse say that? Can your children say that? Can we as a body of believers be encouraged when we see that? I sure am. When I get a chance to spend time with you all on an individual basis, or when we're singing together, when we get a chance to fellowship together, you know what a joy it is to hear you interacting with each other in a Christ-like way? Have you ever been somewhere where people were constantly talking about each other negatively? Backbiting, stabbing, irritated, crabby. You ever been around some people like that? Oh, come on. Not here. But could that happen here? Well, sure. What are you going to do when you recognize you are? You know what one of the most fantastic things you'll do as a parent is when you are observed in a way that does not reflect Christ-likeness, to admit that to your family. What you just observed was not Christ-like, and I admit it. You know that you can do that with brothers and sisters in Christ, too? Now, is that awkward? It might be the first time, but it ought to be something you all get used to. I mean that. There will be times when you do things and someone says something or you respond and you're not Christ-like. And you know what will be fantastic for you in your relationship with them is when you come back to them later and say, the way I dealt with that was not Christ-like. And I know that. I recognize that. Wouldn't that be a sweet thing to have? Now, here's the deal. When Paul says the things you've learned and seen and heard, do. It's not just that you have an example to observe. He is saying to be something of that. Look back in chapter 3. He says in verse number 17 of chapter 3, be followers together of me, in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. You need to catch on to who is ones that you can be patterning yourself after. Be looking for these. For many walk, verse 18 says, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Those are not the things to be following after. Those are not the things that verse 8 would be indicative of. Pure, lovely, good report. Why? Because these are people that are constantly consumed with this world. All their thinking, all their attitude, all of it is reflecting around now and their attitude of preeminence now or getting something now. And it is not Christ-likeness, which is the setting aside of now for what is ahead. And so mark those which you have an example for us in and say, okay, I'm going to follow that pattern, not this pattern. You realize that that's what you've got to do, is constantly be observing who you're going to have as an example. Here's the second thing, and we'll continue quickly here. The second thing, an example to imitate is the doing part. You have a responsibility to do, not just to observe, not just to see and learn and hear, but to do. And it's a command. In verse number 9 of chapter 4, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Okay, that may sound like a very simple word, do. But there's a lot packed in that, because there's something that's on your responsibility now. It's not just that you've had the accumulation of the information. It's kind of like the kid, again, who sits here and he watches his parents walk around. He hears them talk, but he never does anything. Now, thankfully, I didn't have to tell my kids to get up and run around. They wanted to. And I didn't have to tell my kids to start talking. They wanted to, and they talk, and it's great. But what would happen if somebody just never did anything with all the things they'd soaked in? How helpful would they be? Would they? It would be very, very sad. Now, church, how much of what you've taken in is coming out in the doing? You need to do this. It's an imperative, and you need to do it now. Now, the idea is to make this a practice of your habit, what you are constantly, daily, year after year, planning to be about. Imitation and consistency go together. What a child sees of their parents, they see them daily. what they hear of their parents, they hear them daily. It's not that they saw their parent walk one time and never again. They saw them walking constantly. They saw them interacting with them, playing catch. Motor skill development, you know? Let's stack this block. We're on that stage right now with James, you know? Stacking blocks and learning to play, learning to imitate in the way that we're doing things. And, you know, the consistency of a thing. Did you just teach your child a number one day and they had it down? No, there was, let's go over this again. One, two, three. There's consistency in that. And there needs to be a constant example now coming out of us who have received. There needs to be a consistent example, an example that others can imitate. Procrastination on the part of your thinking and actions will have tremendous consequences. And I mean procrastination because I think sometimes we can be hesitant to be doers because, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right. You ever been around someone who wasn't sure if they were doing it right yet and never did anything? Now, to be honest, can children be afraid of failing? Yeah, falling off of their bike, afraid of messing up on a thing that they do. A recital comes up and they're nervous about it. But do you think that just limits itself to children? Can adults be intimidated and afraid? Can adults have received much and be hesitant about doing? Yes. In fact, I'm quite convinced that I have been in that place in my past, and I have to recognize it even now. What are the things that I don't want to do because I am intimidated, because I am afraid, because I am thinking I don't have enough of the ability yet? Have you ever been there? I think that that's a reality for us as a body, that the doing of the things that God wants us to do is not because, well, you have all the skill. No, how had Paul done anything he had done? Empowered by the Spirit of God. And the things that I'm to live out, those are, we've talked about this with marriage. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How are you going to do that? Empowered by the Spirit. How are you going to be one who takes all that you've learned and seen and received and now do with? You're going to need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. And so you need to be an example that others can imitate. But you're not doing that based on your own strength. And that brings us to the final thing in this verse. In chapter 4, verse number 9, notice the follow-up to this statement. Because if I procrastinate in this, if I don't get to doing, I don't believe I'll enjoy the latter part of verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now get this. If I have received all of this information and all of the things that I've observed and seen of Christ's likeness, and I don't do anything with them, I don't do and live in this so that others can follow it, do you know that I believe you will lack peace in your Christian life? Look back at chapter number 4, verse 7, because he speaks of this before. Verse 5, let your moderation or your carefulness, control be known by all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he goes into this matter of your thinking, and now your doing. And what is it that follows your doing? The God of peace shall be with you. Why is the reason that sometimes we're hesitant in the doing? I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. What are they going to think? What's going to happen? Do. And guess what you'll find out? The God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that what it says? Does it say, experiment with it for a while and find out if you really enjoy it? And then you'll be happy and at peace. No. The things that you've learned and seen and observed, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know what follows? Oftentimes we want to come first. We want peace to come ahead of time, and then we'll do. God instructs us to do by faith in what we're told to do and recognize that peace follows right along behind it. Have you ever been afraid of doing something because you're afraid of what's going to be ahead? But in that fear of what's ahead, you're missing out on the peace God wants you to know. You ever been there? I have. I have to tell you and remind you again, it's been 4 years since we've come here to New Life. You realize that? It's been a fast 4 years. It's one of those double-edged things. It seems like it's been a long time, and it seems like it's been a short time. And I suppose COVID involved in that somewhat made it seem like it was long. But 5 years ago, I don't know that I would have thought God could use me to be a pastor. I don't know that that's what he wants me to do. I don't know that I could do that. You ever had questions or doubts about how God's going to use you? And in that moment of doubt and fear and say, I don't know. I don't have as much as this person has. I'm not as gifted as this person is. And I don't have, you ever put those out there before? I did. And I still do. And you know what I have to remember? I don't do because I have everything. You don't do because you have everything. You do because of what you've received, and that you and I are commanded to be examples and to take what we've received and be givers of it, be living in it. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, that is a great encouragement. What if it didn't have that follow-up? What if the peace of God was not with you? You'd be a mess. You would be. Why? Because we would be living in our fear, in our self-abilities, in our fear of what others think, in our fear of our own inability and frustrations. And that's not the way God wants us to live. And in fact, he very clearly tells them, there is an example here that if you will follow in and be doers in, you'll enjoy something on the other side. And the God of peace shall be with you. Is God's plan good? Yeah, that's an easy question, right, Pastor? Of course it is. But what did we miss when we procrastinate doing what we know God wants us to do? Have you ever missed because you didn't do what you know God wants you to do? What do we miss? Verse 7 again speaks of it, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. You know, your thinking is to be bookended with peace. God wants us to be giving of our cares, of our worries, of our concerns to him in prayer, not being careful for those things or filled with worry about them. And he wants us to think on the things that we've received, and he wants us to be doers of the things that we've received. You know, you've received a lot. This church is packed with people who know truth. It is. You realize how much you know compared to folks in Uganda and Rwanda, where Brother Stark ministers? You know how much more you know than even some of the men that he's helping prepare and get into pastoral ministry, and so that they can share that with others? Do you know how much you and I have? Is it a lot? Now, is it? Okay, what are you doing with it? I didn't say you all have to go, you know, every man in here decides tonight, pastor's trying to get us all to be pastors. No. But what do you have? And what are you doing with what you know? Because we are to be examples that others can imitate. And if you as a parent say tonight, you know, God wants me to be an example for my kids to be imitators of, how good of an imitation of that which is Christ-like will there be? That which you know, is it something that they, if they imitate, will be doing themselves in a way that their children can be doing what God wants and be pleased by what you're declaring out of life? Grandparents, wouldn't it be a fantastic thing if you knew, I have received this and I want to be an example that will be a help to my children's children? Now, many of you are already doing this, and I rejoice in that. But isn't that a great thing to have on our minds? Some of you that don't have children or grandchildren, you're an example to others. And your consistency is one that is observed. It's observed by this pastor, and I'm grateful for it. It's observed by the kids in our church. Recently, we were talking amongst our kids about people in our church and the things that we observe. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming up was, They're always there. They're always there, they're, you know, where they sit. But it's more than just where they sit. It's that they are here, that they love God, and that others know that, that they talk of God. Maybe there's doing that you're struggling with. Maybe the doing is something you say, I just am afraid. I don't think I can. I don't have the ability. Remember that the peace of God goes with you as we're doing. It is promised. If there's an area that you say, I just don't think I can, recognize the peace of God goes with the doing. If you will put into practice the things that you've heard and seen and learned, you know what you will find? God's peace goes with you. Any inadequacy, any shortcoming you feel in yourself, the God of peace goes with you. And he'll follow up in the verses to come about contentment. But remember back at the very beginning, has Paul been in a very easy situation? No, he's in prison, and people are being critical of him while he's there. And the very way that he's handling even that criticism of others is an example for this church. How do you handle criticism? How do you handle people that ridicule you when you're down? You know that the way that they were being encouraged to do was the very same way that Paul himself was acting in that time. You know, kids, when you're being attacked, when you're being hurt, can you be an example to your brothers and sisters and to other kids in our church and to others that come into contact with you of what it looks like to be Christ-like? You absolutely can. There's a thrill to that. That you and your reactions to each other, that you and adults and your reactions to each other can demonstrate Christ-likeness, and that others can then follow that pattern as an example, and the peace of God going with you is greater than any kind of victory you'll have when you go, I got him. Nope, there's better. The peace of God going with you beats that every time. You need to live with that in mind. And Paul is encouraging them to enjoy this matter of being an example, to enjoy it. Now, I've gone long. I want to keep sharing verses. Write down in your notes, though, if you're taking notes, Romans 16, verse 19 and 20. Romans 16, verses 19 and 20. And you might just do a study on the God of peace and what he does in those that entrust themselves to him. And 2 Corinthians 13, 11 speaks of it as well. And kind of these ending type statements from Paul to believers in Rome, in Corinth, in Philippians, he reminds them that the God of peace goes with them. And you need to be reminded of that continually, church, that the God of peace goes with you. In Romans 16, verse 19, it says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. People know that you're doing. That's a big deal. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Sounds very much like Philippians 4, 8. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't that encouragement to hear? The God of peace is going to take care of that which is so much trouble, and it's going to come soon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, church, be encouraged that God is with you. That's important. If you're going to be an example to others, you can't have a question mark about that. As we looked at this morning in Romans 8, you know that he is for you. If you're his child, you know he's for you. And part of even going through troubles and being able to be an example is being able to, while others may be against you, to have the sweet assurance of the fact that you are right with God. You think people observe that? Oh, they're watching that. They constantly are. And that we would be able to be imitators of Christ in this regard, that while others are attacking or hurting or slandering, the way that we respond demonstrates the way that our Savior responded, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Do you think that if God was able to take what Christ went through and bring glory to him out of that, that what we go through could not also bring glory to his name? Do you think that that's possible? And do you think that the people that are watching that will be ultimately able to say, look what God did? And I know I've given a lot of thoughts here tonight, but I don't know, perhaps you've been struggling with being an imitation, being someone that others can imitate. Perhaps you've struggled with the matter of who you're even going to pick to follow, your pattern. In Romans 16, he says, I would that you be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You need to pick. Be careful who your example is. Be very careful of it. And then pursue that. Follow that example as is Christ-like, and let others follow you in it. Would you bow with me for prayer tonight? I want to just take a few moments for our invitation time and ask you this. Are you one who sees the imitation of Christ's likeness in others and pursues after that? You see others pursuing Christ, and you say, I want to pursue that as well. Paul is encouraging them to himself because he himself is following Christ. There's nothing wrong with that for you as a parent. For you as a child, even to say, I see my parents, or I see a teacher, or I see someone else, and I see they're following Christ, and I want that example to be what I am, following after. You need to pick tonight who you're going to look to as an example. You as well need tonight to decide, I want to be doer. I don't want to just observe and see this. I want to be involved in it. I want my life to be this so that others can follow it, so that they can see Christ in me and that God would be glorified, that I would be a light that shines for Christ. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor Finney, God pointed out to me this is an area that I needed to be challenged in. I've not been doing all the things that I could because of fears. Maybe there have been fears that have kept me from obedience and from doing where there really needs to be submission and know God's peace. And maybe tonight God encouraged your heart that you need to live doing what He's given you to do, given you and knowing, and letting Him be the one that supplies the peace. Let's take a little bit of time this evening to go to the Lord. Maybe it'd be good if this evening God pointed out something specific in this passage that needs to be put into practice, that you even come and just take some time to pray here at the front. I know we don't often do that on Sunday nights, but I think it would be vital tonight to do that. So let's stand, and as we have a time of invitation, the piano's going to play in just a moment, but if God's dealt in your heart, you can sit there where you are, or you can come. If you need some encouragement, maybe there's an area of decision that you think, you know what, I need to make a decision about this. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you let God work in your hearts tonight, and let's let God do a work in this service this evening. Piano's going to begin to play. Let's let the Lord work. Father, we commit this time to you, and I thank you that we've been able to spend sweet time in fellowship tonight around your word and around singing of truth. Lord, I do believe that there are some areas that maybe we've had need of surrendering over to you and being involved in doing where we've not. I pray that there would be some decisions made even in this time. Lord, we'll commit this time of invitation to you in Jesus' name.